So the weather is changing. Nebraska football is about to play their fifth game of the season. And lo and behold, 48 days from now, the college basketball season begins. It was photo day for Nebraska men's basketball. Robin Washut had his iPhone out. He was taking pictures for Huskers.com. It was pretty cool. 48 days until the season starts? Wow, didn't the season kind of just end?
Seems that way, but considering what last season was, that seems like an eternity ago, considering where things were at that point. But yeah, we're closing in. They start practice here at the end of the month. I think September 28th is their first official day of practice. And, you know, then obviously they got, I think, 20 or so some days of practices. And then that first exhibition against Peru State on October 27th is going to be up for the unofficial debut of Fred Hoiberg's third Nebraska team.
Robin Washut from Husker Online joining us. Any observations today being around these guys who, everything you see, they've kind of did well in the offseason in packaging and branding and generating enthusiasm for this team. Now you see a team picture, and I noticed everybody's kind of like parsing through it of who's who, especially among the newcomers. Anything that you saw or was said that kind of stands out?
Not necessarily. And again, I'm a little different because, like, you know, I interact with a lot of these guys with that McGowan's podcast now. So like I'd seen a lot of these guys already, but, you know, I think just in general, seeing everybody together, and the amount of personality they have on this team, there's a lot of characters, I'll put it that way, that the question, you know, is, you know, when you have guys with big personalities, can they all gel together? And just seeing everybody on the court together for the first time, you know, there seems to be a pretty good chemistry there. Now, I'll say the caveat there is usually chemistry is always pretty good in September. Yeah. It's when, you know, you're in the grind of the season and have dropped a couple games on the road, and that's when the real, you know, team bonding comes into play. But I will say that they're off to a pretty good start, especially with nine newcomers to this roster, gelling with the returners, the veteran guys they have coming back. It seems like there's a pretty good, you know, just connection there from top to bottom. So that was encouraging to see. You know, that was probably the, you know, again, just seeing all these guys together at once. I've seen them in bits and pieces, you know, in single interviews, but this was the first time seeing them collectively as a team. And, you know, like I said, if nothing else, they will be fun to watch and even funner to cover.
Now, how are they going to Photoshop Eduardo Andre in?
So they took the one picture where everybody's together. It's actually kind of a funny story. And then they said, all right, they told Oleg and Derek Walker to create a little space where they were going to put the Photoshop of Eduardo in there. You know, they kept telling Derek to scooch over, or scooch over a little bit more. And Derek's like, come on, man, it's not that big. And so, but he is that big when you take into account that he's, you know, 6'11" now and put on, you know, 20 pounds of muscle. So those photographers knew what they were doing to create adequate space for that Photoshop.
Hey, you brought up Bryce McGowan's, and he's got the podcast with his brother. He is in a television commercial. He is super hyped. Everybody around the country is talking about him. Has yet to play a single minute of basketball at Nebraska. Now that you kind of got to talk to him, be around him, what are some of the traits that you think he'll be able to handle all of this attention? Because I can't recall another Nebraska basketball player. One, it's very limited on the hype of Nebraska athletes before they ever appear on a field that get this kind of a level. Like we were yesterday, Tommy Frazier, Harrison Beck, Marlon Lucky, Thunder Collins, some of those names. But in basketball, this is extremely rare. What about his makeup? Do you think, he's going to be fine? You won't know he's a freshman.
Yeah, I mean, it's not only just hype around here. I mean, there's been guys that people have been excited about, you know, from within the program and the fan base. But this is at a national level where, I mean, you're getting national college basketball analysts tweeting about Bryce McGowan. You're getting, you know, NBA mock drafts, you know, calling him a lottery pick. And so, I mean, that's the difference. I mean, I personally can't think of anything like it in my experience last 20 years covering this team. And, you know, it probably goes further back than that for anything close to this. And so this is kind of uncharted territories for a Nebraska basketball player, especially as a true freshman. But what makes me feel confident that Bryce will be able to handle it is just his personality. I mean, he is built for this type of spotlight. I mean, just seeing him, you know, whether it's in front of the camera or just talking with him, I mean, he gets it. That's an 18-year-old kid to just kind of have that much understanding of the situation and kind of what his persona has become. I think he's ready. I think he understands kind of what he's getting himself into, and he's maybe one of the best parts about it is comes from a really grounded family. You know, his parents are both coaches, and so, you know, he's been trained to, you know, keep focused and not get overly caught up in stuff like this. And, you know, he was, you know, first learning to dribble basketball, but now he's here and he's got his older brother Trey to look after him too. I mean, Trey is not going to let Bryce, you know, get caught up in all this. He's going to make sure that they stay on the right path. And then, you know, obviously with the coaching staff here, they are no strangers to dealing with high level, you know, potential NBA draft picks and making sure that they do everything necessary to get where they ultimately want to be. And so I think just the support system he has around him, and more importantly, his maturity for his age and, you know, ability to handle that type of spotlight. I mean, he's set up for success. But now the real pressure, I mean, obviously he's got to live up to all that billing and play like a five-star, but the pressure also carries over to Nebraska and their coaching staff to make sure that Bryce is as good as they think and hope that he can be. Because if he's good and he goes on and gets drafted in the first round or even in the lottery, that opens the door for countless other, you know, similar type of players that they're actively recruiting right now and then could continue to recruit into the future. You can put a guy into the league as a lottery pick. People take notice of that, and there's no more valuable commodity in recruiting. So there's pressure on Bryce to live up to this hype, but there's also pressure on Nebraska to make sure that you know, he becomes the player that they've been touting him basically since he committed.
So fair to say next weekend on the opening night and that whole weekend with a public scrimmage and the fun they're going to have, and then a big recruiting weekend, that Bryce McGowan's will be front and center for the recruits that will be on campus and the fans?
I would assume so. I think they're going to find a way to make sure that he is very well seen and very well focused on in all their social media efforts. Because, like I said, I mean, that's their big ticket. I mean, if this works out with Bryce, which, again, I, you know, feel pretty good that it will, at least to a high degree. That changes your program, and it allows you to recruit a caliber of player that otherwise you would have no chance with, in outside of crazy scenarios like they ended up with Bryce with his brother being here.
It's going to be a busy weekend for recruiting. You reported earlier brand new official coming in. What do you know about Jamarcus Lawrence from New Jersey?
Yeah, 2022 recruit who is out in New Jersey at Roselle Catholic. Coincidentally, the same school as one of Nebraska's top 2023 recruits, five-star Simeon Wilcher. So a little bit of a coincidence there, I'm sure. But, you know, this isn't just like a do-a-kid-a-favor type thing where, I mean, they offered him back in the summer. So they'd seen him a couple different times. Fred Hoiberg and Adam Lamassi were just out at Roselle this past Sunday to go see Simeon and obviously Jamarcus. So I think there's certainly interest on Nebraska's end, and he's kind of an under-the-radar type recruit to where there's not much out there on him from a recruiting service standpoint. Mm-hmm. But he's got multiple high major offers, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Cal, and Wichita State have all offered. He's going to take his first official visit this weekend to Wake Forest. So, you know, I mean, this is the guy that I think that, you know, we'll see kind of where things stand. But if nothing else, you're able to pair a teammate with your, like I said, one of your top, if not the top 2023 target on your list with Simeon. So should make that official visit for Simeon and for both of them even that much more enjoyable.
Shifting to football, what do you think is the real optimism that you could take from the Oklahoma game that you saw that, yes, you could be optimistic about that?
I mean, for me, it's the defense. And the fact that they went into that setting against that level of competition and played as well as they did. Now, it wasn't perfect by any stretch. I mean, 21 missed tackles, almost 200 yards allowed rushing, over 400 yards total. That being said, you know, they still did something that no other team has done against Oklahoma in, you know, 65 or whatever games, and hold them to that low of a point total. And when you play like that and you give yourself a chance to win on the road in that type of spotlight, that's a big deal. I think that shows that Nebraska's defense is legit, to whereas before you kind of shrugged your shoulders a little bit about, you know, holding Buffalo and Fordham to low point totals. But when you do it against Oklahoma, it changes the conversation. And so I think that was a real confidence boost for that side of the ball, that even though, you know, they were far from perfect, you know, with all the missed tackles, dropped interceptions and those types of things, they put their team in a position to win the game. And so I think that's probably, you know, when you look at silver linings, that's at the top of the list for me. You know, there's some other bright spots, like Omar Manning's emergence, you know, making some big plays, getting Travis Vokolek back and how he changed the dynamic of their offense, both in the run and pass game. You know, so there's just parts that you can, you know, build off of offensively. But, you know, for me, the biggest takeaway was that defense proved that they are legit and they should be able to more than hold their own against everybody else remaining on their schedule.
Saturday night, is that the reason why Nebraska wins, or will it be the offense?
Well, I mean, obviously they show the defense can play as well as they possibly could. And if the other two facets of the game don't hold up their end of the bargain, it's not going to matter. And so, I mean, this is a game where I think Nebraska matches up well, particularly if Nebraska's offense can play at a relatively high level, because Michigan State's strength is its offensive line and running game. Nebraska's strength is its defense and front seven. So it's going to be the other stuff that decides the game. You know, can Nebraska's offense move the football against a Michigan State defense that, you know, isn't a juggernaut by any stretch? I mean, they're going to be a physical team that is going to be stout up front, but there will be plays to be made. Can Nebraska make them? Can they play clean football with not only turnovers, but the dumb penalties, eliminating those? And then maybe most of all, you know, can they win special teams? And that's going to be the case every single game from here on out. You know, not only can they just do what they're supposed to do, but can they not just be a total liability? That's probably where a game like this in particular, you know, where Michigan State's pretty jacked up, you know, they got a lot of momentum. They're going to do the stripe out game and, you know, the first night game. So there's a lot kind of rolling in their favor. Can the other sides of the ball beyond the defense play at a high enough level to win this type of game? And like I said, I think the opportunity is there. I think Nebraska has a chance offensively to make some big plays. But if they can do that, stay out of their own way, and the special teams can just not be bad, I think that they have a real shot to win this game.
Oh, what is not be bad?
I want to set the bar as low as possible here. But, well, here's the deal, though. I mean, like, their kickoff, this team has been great. They've been putting the ball through the end zone. And so, I mean, that's been vastly improved. Their punting game, you know, we'll see what they do there. If they go back to Daniel Cherney or stick with, you know, William Price, I mean, they were good last week. You know, two punts of 50 yards. I mean, that it doesn't get much better than that. So, you know, outside of the place kicking game and maybe one bad coverage on a kickoff, their special teams have been okay. But, you know, when you cost yourself 9 points directly off kicking, that's tough to overcome, especially against an opponent like that.
What do you think happens with running back this weekend?
Well, I mean, they seem very high on Ramir Johnson, but just when you think that they found their guy, they go a completely different direction. Basically, like, Nebraska's the New England Patriots of the Big Ten, to where you think you have an idea of what their running back situation is, and then they throw something completely different at you. I don't think anybody expected to see Ramir Johnson play,
no,
you know, really any meaningful snaps, let alone start that game on the schedule. But he did, and he looked decent. I mean, he ran hard, made some tough plays, didn't necessarily get much in the statistics, but, you know, I think he showed some flashes of know, maybe they have something to work with there. But Marquis Stepp, you know, I think that he was brought here to run in the Big Ten. You know, I mean, he's their most physical back and most experienced back. And you would think he would have a much bigger role, especially now going forward into conference play, just with the style of running that he brings to the table. So I still don't think they have anything close to a bell cow running back, and they probably won't all season. It's just a matter of, you know, which guys are going to be the flavors of the week, you know, each and every game.
Do you wonder if this is another close game and Nebraska isn't able to find a way to finish, that this takes a toll on this team, or they just move on to the next game?
No, I think it will. I mean, this is, you know, after Illinois, you know, I mean, we saw how big of a game that was in terms of just changing the tenor of the season. This is probably right there. If Illinois is 1A, this is 1B as far as most important games on the schedule, because of how much this does for setting the tone for the rest of the year. If they could find a way to go on the road, especially to build off of the moral victories they gained against Oklahoma, and pull off an upset and get back to, you know, 500 conference play. I mean, all of a sudden they got something to work with there, and you see some tangible rewards for your work that you've been putting in. But if you fall short and you lose this game, it's hard to continue to get up for these types of games when, you know, you're not seeing any benefit from, you know, the stuff that you're doing every day in practice. And it's going to take a toll on morale, and there's no doubt about it that this game could decide whether or not a bowl game is feasible. You know, the wins are getting harder and harder to project right now, and for them to get to six, this one is as important as anyone on the schedule, just because they need some momentum. They need some positivity to back up, you know, what they've been trying to build all offseason. And I think they took a step back in the right direction last week. But if they go there and lay an egg and, you know, get run off the field, all that is erased. And, you know, you got to wonder just how much gas is going to be left in the tank to make a postseason push.
I agree. Robin, as always, I appreciate it. Thank you for adjusting to our schedule.
Yeah. It's been a crazy schedule change up with the season. So
you're busy.
Glad you guys are being flexible.
You're a busy man. Thank you.
Yep. See you guys.
That's Robin Washut from Husker Online, who now will join us every Wednesday at 11. If you do the math, Robin's right. This is a game, you got to get to six, so you're at two. Got to find four more. Everybody knows what November looks like around here. Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Iowa. Can you get to six before you get to November? You've got Northwestern next week. You have Purdue at the end of October. So you have to bookend victories. So that would be two. You still need two more. The next tier of games that are most likely, if you're going to get to six, who's in that tier? Saturday night's game is in that tier. We'll do that a little bit later. I've tiered the remaining schedule on the most likely victories. There's going to have to be a game in there. Let's say, and I'm still at 6-6. I'm 6-6 guy. Let's say the season just continues to play like it is. One good, one bad, one good, one bad, back and forth. There's probably going to be a time during there where you're going to need to steal one game. You kicked aside a game week zero. You got to find a way to steal a game that you're not expected to win. There's quite a few of those on the schedule where you're not expected to win. Can you go find one of those, and what would be the most likely? We'll dive into that a little bit later. Break time. Scott Chandler's coming up bottom of the hour. Mailbag at noon, brought to you by Oscar's Pizza and Grill. You can send your questions today to Mike Neville, mneville@nrgmedia.com, mneville@nrgmedia.com. Plus, Parker Gabriel will stop by. We'll pose a question to him. You know the metrics. We're looking at all the numbers, whether Nebraska is 92nd in the country in third down defense or what they've been able to do with Adrian's jaw-dropping numbers so far this year. But do your eyeballs match the numbers? You know what the numbers say. Some of them are not good. Some of them are middling. Some of them are really good. But do your eyeballs match the numbers that Nebraska's put up through four games? That's a question I pose now. We'll pose that to Parker Gabriel when he joins us about 1:30 on the Gary Sharp Show with Mike Neville today on 1620 The Zone.